Let us get our Bibles in our hands. Let's start off with our confession for the Word of God. Amen. When we confess the Word of God, it is always a blessing. So start off by saying this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
Let's do that again. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
This
one's important. I will have what it says I will have. All right, I'm a part of Deliverance Temple.
Where we love.
By living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We commit to serve creatively.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise again. Amen. Amen. We're few today, but we are strong. So thank God for being strong. So today we're going to talk about this, this phrase, this title, and I'm going to call it New Grace. New Grace. And so the reason why I talk about that or bring it up is this. I want to put this up on the screen, which is the number 5. It actually equals grace, the number 5. And so when I say that, in biblical times, number 1, the Hebrew words and the Hebrew letters were connected to numbers. For us, in our alphabet, we have 26 letters in the alphabet, but what they would do, the corresponding number would correspond to the letter. So for us, A would represent number 1. It's the first letter, and the last letter would be Z, which would be 26. And so they had letters that represented numbers. But also, as you study it out, it's something called numerology, which is the study of numbers. So certain numbers meant certain things. And the number 5, it represents grace. And so I have a definition of grace, and I don't know if it's going to make it up there, so I'm going to read what I have. Well, it looks like it is. It says this: the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners, and this is what I want to key on, and the bestowal of blessings. So when I talk about new grace, I'm talking about new blessings for this new year. Now, the first part says manifested in the salvation of sinners. So hopefully you and I who are here today and those tuning in have logged in, hopefully we have already asked Jesus into our life to save us from our sins. If we have not, that's step number 1. You want the salvation of your soul as a sinner. Doesn't mean you'll never make a sin again, but what it means is that you are trusting God to take care of your sin, to clean you of your sin, and start you on the walk of salvation, which also means deliverance. We are Deliverance Temple, which means we're not perfect people, but we're trusting in the deliverance of our Savior to make us everything we need to be. So if you've already started on that place, then the only thing left for you is new grace or new favor or new bestowal of blessings upon your life. In other words, what I need and what you need may be entirely different, but because of the grace of God that's available to us, I can get what I need and you can get what you need. I don't have to be jealous of Donald, and Donald doesn't have to be jealous of me. I don't have to be jealous of Jason, and Jason doesn't have to be jealous of me. There is new favor and new grace in this new year for all of us to get what we need. God is not a limited resource. He's an unlimited resource. So grab what you need from the Lord. The other reason why I bring that up is because the number 5, yes, it means grace, but this is the 5th day of the new year. And the new year is 2025. So as I've been thinking about the 5s that fall, I thought about the new grace. And so grace means several things, but
what we're going to focus on is the bestowal of blessings, but there's a better Christian word to use, and so we're going to go ahead and put it up. Grace for this lesson equals favor. Somebody said favor. Favor. Let's say it again. Somebody say favor. So what I'm talking about is new favor. One of the worst things you could do is go into a new year using the old favor. No, I want new grace or new favor for the new year. In other words, God, I want you to do something for me that I have not seen yet. I don't want just the run of the mill, just the same thing, just the every day, because what'll happen is I'll get lulled to sleep and I won't feel like God is doing anything. So God, do something new for me in this new season. And Israel Houghton, he sang a song and said, it's a new season. It's a new day, fresh anointing flowing my way. I want a fresh anointing. I want fresh favor. I want new blessings, because I want to be able to point to it and say, God did that. If it's just what I've always had, I don't know if I can prove that it was God that did it. I want something new so that everybody knows it was God. Brand new. There's nothing like brand spanking new. Let me give you an example of what I'm not talking about. I seen on TikTok, you know, you can see all kinds of crazy things on social media, but I seen a young man talking about how to get cheap drinks at the movies. He's like, the movies, they charge so much for these drinks. This is how to get cheap drinks at the movies. So he walks into the movies. He goes into the trash can and he pulls out an old cup from the trash can, takes it into the bathroom, rinses it out, and then he goes up and gets a refill. He said, that's how you can get free drinks. And in the comments, they was wearing him out. Say, if you so broke you can't pay for a drink, you don't need to be at the movies to begin with. In other words, you're trying to take an old thing and make it new. Some old stuff I don't want. I don't want your blessing. I want mine. I don't want your blessing from 1962. I want a new blessing for 2025. So I'm pressing into this new season for new grace and new favor. And I'm not just working on my grandma's religion and my granddaddy's religion. No, I want something fresh and new for myself. And here's the problem. Some of y'all are like the man at the movies. You're digging in the trash for old stuff, but expecting something new. I don't want to be that way. I want new grace and new favor for a new season. And here's something else I'll add before we move on. Here's the thing. There's going to be new attacks from the devil. So why should I have an old anointing for new attacks? If he's going to attack me in a new way, I'm going to be blessed in a new way. I might show up with a new suit. I might show up with a new house. I might show up with a new car. Won't show up with a new wife because that's not on the table. But I'm going to show up with something new in this season. And don't be mad at me. Get what God has for you. So let's just have a mindset shift of new. Now let's go into the scripture. Genesis 5. 27 through 32.
And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died.
We're going to stick with the theme of numerology, just some numbers, throw out some numbers. So actually in Genesis 5, which is the fifth chapter of Genesis, they start talking about the genealogy from Adam to Noah. And in the middle, we hear about this guy named Methuselah. He's the oldest man to ever live on the earth. And so if you are Bible trivia, that's something that you can take and remember or take a note of. Methuselah is the oldest man to ever live for 969 years. All right, let's look at verse 28.
And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son.
He was 182 when he had this child. I was 31 when I had my first child, but they lived a long time because this was before the flood. He was 182 years old and he had a child. He begat a son. Let's see who he begat. Let's look at verse 29.
And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed."
You don't have to do it because I've already done it for you. If you read the beginning of this chapter, nobody that is talked about, is there anything said positive about them? They were just talking about who they were. But when they get to Noah, they say something different about Noah. Noah is going to, and I'll paraphrase it, he's going to reverse the curse. Noah is showing up. He's a new son in an old season, but he's bringing a newness to this old season. And we've been toiling, we've been working, we've been grinding, and things have not been working. But there's something special about this new person named Noah that's going to show up, because he's got a different level of anointing on his life. And I'm here to let you know, you may have been birthed into your family line and your family has always operated a certain way, but when you showed up, the buck stopped here, because you bring a newness to an old season. You bring a new grace. You bring a new favor. You bring a new anointing. You bring a new strategy. You bring a new purpose. There's something special about you in this new. So never devalue you, because you are something important. You are the catalyst for change if you allow it to be so. Let's go to verse 30.
And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years.
He lived 595 years. We see 5 and 5 in that. Go ahead and read.
And begat sons and daughters.
All right. Let's go to the next verse, 31.
And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died.
We often hear of the number 666. As being a negative and a bad number, and a number that speaks toward demonicness. But before then, we see the number 777 as it talks about Lamech. He died at 777. 7 is the number for God. 6 is the number for man. So 666 means triple man. 777 means triple God. And here's the connotation. When you get in a new season that is ordained by God, it is like a triple seven. It is like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And it's helping you move into the new season. So this is what you're going to need in 2025. You're going to need the Father. You're going to need the Son. And you're going to need the Holy Spirit to bring and branch something new. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but here's the thing. If you're backed up by the Father, and you're backed up by the Son, and you're backed up by the Holy Spirit, here's the truth. You are not alone. And that's why sometimes when it looks like I'm talking to myself, I'm not talking to myself, because I got the Father, I got the Son, and I got the Holy Ghost. And so I'm crossing into this new season, but I'm not going by myself. I'm going with the power of the Father. I'm going with the power of the Son, and I'm going with the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody ought to shout amen right there.
Amen, amen.
Let's keep on going. Verse 32.
And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
That number 5 again. Noah was 500, and when he began to beget, verse is Genesis 6, 7 through 8. I'll read it because it looks like we've lost them on the screen. So 6, 7, 8 says this. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made man. So we leave chapter 5, which is chapter 5 was ending where Noah had born these 3 sons. And we go into chapter 6. And in chapter 6, everybody is all messed up. So much so that God was fed up to his fed upness. And he said, I'm about to wipe it all out. Start over. I'll give you just a little context for you Bible scholars, you theologians who want to know it. What happened was the fallen angels, the Bible calls them the Nephilim, the fallen angels, what they begin to do is they begin to have sex with the daughters of men. In other words, there were angels, which fallen angels are demons. The demons were having literal relationships with the women on earth, and they were producing this mixed race of babies that were half human, half demonic. And they begin to cause all kinds of havoc on the earth. And God was fed up. And so he said, I'm about to start all over. I'm going to wipe everybody out. But there was this one fella that I'm going to keep. And his name is Noah. Because Noah was born from Lamech, who was 777. Noah's bloodline had not been affected by the demonic. So he said, I'm going to wipe everybody out. I'm going to start over with a man named Noah. He's going to build an ark. Many of us know the story. So let's read the next verse. And this is what I'm trying to get to. Verse 8 says this.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Everybody was messed up, but Noah found grace. Other verses says Noah found favor. In other words, God picked Noah out of the crowd and said, I'm going to work with you and I'm going to work through you and I'm going to work for you, not because of anything you've done, but because I have found favor with you. And somebody said, favor ain't always fair. Here's the thing. Everybody may be acting crazy, but God will bless you because God picked you. And you can't be mad at me because God pick me, and I can't be mad at you because God picked you. But when you find favor with the Lord, God will elevate you in a new place, in a new season, to go against the grain and do what everybody can't do and what everybody isn't doing. We started off this new year in New Orleans, where there was a New Year's Day celebration crossing from the old year 24 into the new year 25. And somebody takes a truck and runs it into a crowd on purpose. Yes. And then after that, there was a cyber truck in Vegas set beside Trump Tower that blew up. Now they're trying to figure out what's going on. Here's the thing, saints. We don't have to worry about what's going on with the world. We got a newness that's inside of us that's not going to be tainted by the wickedness of the old world. While they getting ready to go crazy and shoot and cut and act a fool, people are wondering, why are you praising? And it's so scary out there. It's scary for you, but it's not scary for me, because I found favor with the Lord. And when God says it's my time to be blessed, you can shoot them up, you can blow it up, you can cut up. It don't make a difference. God's still going to bless me anyhow, because the favor of God is on my life. I said it before and I'll say it again. The women, and many of the women from Deliverance Temple, they are on a cruise, and the cruise departed from New Orleans, Louisiana. And they went a day early so they would be there. Normally when you get on a cruise, they suggest that you go a day early. So they were coming to New Orleans the same time this man was planning to cause havoc in New Orleans, but not a lady from Deliverance Temple was affected, because the favor of God is on the people of God. And I don't care what the devil is doing. When you find favor, God will take care of his people. So that leads me to point number one. Point number one is this: negativity. This is a season of negativity. There's negativity everywhere, but I'm letting you know the negativity won't affect you if you are under the new grace and the new favor of the Lord. So it behooves you to be where you need to be, connected to who you need to connect to, because this negativity that's running rampant in the world, it'll suck you in if you're not where you're supposed to be, connected to who you're supposed to be connected to, which is God. Let's give a definition for negativity. A person, attitude, or situation that's not desirable or optimistic. This is not the time to be happy for some people, because negativity is going to run rampant for others, but it's not going to affect us. Somebody say, it won't affect me. All right, so here's every point one, we're going to have a letter to go with it. Here's the letter for point one, A, favor after negativity. So Noah found grace. He found favor in a season filled with demonic spirits and demonic babies and the Nephilim and wickedness running rampant. Noah still found favor even though there was negativity. And so I say that to say this. Some of us have looked back over our life from 2024 and 2023 and 2022 all the way back to the pandemic. And they think, man, I've been in a lot of negativity. Maybe
it's a possibility this God thing ain't for me. Maybe it's for y'all. Maybe it's for you, Pastor Andre, with your bald headed self, but it ain't for me. This ain't working for me. I'm here to let you know that if you're with God, you'll have favor even after negativity and before negativity. In other words, negativity can be on one side, negativity can be on another side, but when you find the new grace and the new favor, it makes no difference how bad it's been. It makes no difference how bad it's going to get. Once the favor of God hits your life, it changes everything. So I want you to understand you can still have favor after negativity. You can still have favor after a loved one lost. You can still have favor after a job has gone. You can still have favor after you got in debt. You can still have favor after an addiction. You can still have favor after depression. I'm here to let you know favor makes no difference what you've been through. When favor shows up, it makes no sense. And so I'm looking for some new grace and new favor that makes no sense. That people looked at me and say, well, you should still be grieving. Yes, I should. But favor has hit my life. You should still be broke. Yes, I should. But favor has hit my life. You should still be sick. Yes, I should. But favor has hit my life. It's a new thing happening in a new season. And I'm ready for everything God has for me. God, bring your favor on. Bring it in the midst of negativity. Bring it in the midst of trouble. Bring it in the midst of the election cycle. Bring it in the midst of folk lying on me. Bring it in the midst of folk talking about me. Because when favor shows up, it makes no difference. So we are just going to lean in to the favor of God. So I want you this year to just say, God, give me new favor. God, give me new favor. God, show up and show out in my life. All right, let's continue to read. Let's try to add some more to it. 2 Samuel 6, 1 through 3. We're going to go away from Genesis, now over into 2 Samuel.
Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000.
All right.
And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which he called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim.
All right, to give you a story, the ark of God for about 20 years had been in the place where the enemy was. And when David comes to the kingdom, he says, I want to go and get the ark of the Lord. There are two arks in the Bible. There's Noah's ark, which we just referenced, and then there's the ark of the covenant. There was a specific box covered with gold where there were cherubim angels on it, and they felt that the presence of God lived in the ark. Now, in our day and age, because of the cross, the presence of God can live inside of us, each of us individually, but in that day and age, it could not. The presence of God had to be in a central location. So what David was saying, here I am king, but the presence of God is way over there. I want to go and I want to get the ark and I want to bring it back. And so he assembled 30,000 of the soldiers and they're going to get the presence of God and bring it back where it should be. And so that leads me to point number two. Well, actually, let's read verse three first. I don't think we read verse three. Then we'll go into point number two.
They placed the ark of God on a new cart.
On a what kind of cart?
New cart.
All right.
That they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart.
So they go and they get the Ark of the Covenant and they put it on a new cart and they're going back to where they're trying to go and take it to. But this place where it's at was on a hill. So now they have to get the cart down the hill. And so I want to put up point number two again for us. Which is effective. So the first point was negativity. The second point is effective. And so let's look at a definition of effective. I'll put it together for you. Here's the definition of effective. Successful in producing a desired or intended result. So the scripture says they put the ark on a new cart. Here's the point that I'm making. Some of you know the story. We'll get into it. But here's the point that I'm making. Everything new is not always effective. So even though we want
new favor, a new grace in a new season, you have to choose the new that is effective. See, everything new is not necessary. Sometimes people are grabbing new that they shouldn't. I just shared with you, I can have a whole lot of new things, but I can't have a new wife. That's not what the Bible says. So, and what I'm saying, now the scripture says that, of course, if she's done something wrong, but Devin has done nothing wrong. So if I just swap and get a new wife, I'm doing that unnecessary. So not all new is effective. Not all new is good. So sometimes you have to pause with the new in the new season and make sure you're doing the new that God wants you to do. Let me say that again. Make sure you're doing the new that God wants you to do. Well, Pastor, I'm getting a new job. But if did God tell you to get a new job? I've heard people tell me, and it's unfortunate because they tell me too late. Pastor, I quit my job to start a business. Pray for me. No, tell me to pray before you quit the job. See, there's an old saying that says, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Hold on to what you got until you know for a fact that God wants you to move from. Some people are getting new that they shouldn't be getting. Amen. So let me give you the context. The scripture tells us way back in the Torah, in the law, in the first five books of the Bible, in the Pentateuch, it tells us how the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be carried. It gave specific ways it was supposed to be carried. They had been separated for so long, they got an idea, we're going to put it on a new cart, but the Bible didn't say that's the way it was supposed to be carried. It was supposed to be carried on poles on their shoulders, but they placed it on a cart. Now let's continue to read. Let's see what happens. Let's go to 2 Samuel.
So they brought it with the Ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Ahio was walking ahead of the Ark.
Mm-hmm. Read.
Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir, wood, and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals.
Let me pause and say, they was having church. Let me say it again. Let me say it like black. They was having church. They was getting it because they was getting the presence of the Lord. Let's read.
But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it.
They were going downhill, and when they got to the threshing floor, the ox stumbled a little bit, and the ark shifted on the new cart. And so one of the people that were there, they reached out to touch it to steady the Ark of God. Well, nothing seemed wrong with that. Let's look at the next verse.
And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the Ark of God.
Wow, this is one of those scriptures that doesn't seem right. They're having church. They're going after the presence of God. And the poor man, all he did was reach out to steady it. And the Bible says he died the moment he touched the Ark. Read verse 8.
David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day.
So David became angry and confused. He said, I'm doing the right thing. And all of a sudden, we lose a life. I've explained it before, but let me give you some more context to this. So the presence of God was in that box, that Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was filled with gold. People know now that they didn't know way back then. One of the greatest conductors of electricity, electrical power, is gold. And so even in our electrical boxes, when they really want power to be moved, they'll use gold-plated things because that's how that power stays hot and powerful. So the power and the presence of God was in that ark. And so that's why they were told to carry it on their shoulders. And when they were to carry it on their shoulders, they would carry it with wood poles that went through these brass rings. It's too much to talk about, but it's really fascinating if you look at it. But anyway, they were supposed to hoist it up. But another thing that we know now that they didn't know anything about then, there's something called grounding. When you have electrical power, as long as you have a ground, the electrical power won't jump where it's not supposed to jump. And so the wood poles, including them walking on the ground, it kept the power harnessed the way it's supposed to be. Just to give you an example, every one of the outlets that's in this church right now, you can go and take and put a plug in there and you can get power from it because it has a proper ground. If it's not properly grounded, if you was to put the plug in there, it would shock you and electrocute you right away because it's not properly grounded. But here's the thing. This was thousands of years ago in ancient times. Electricity had never been invented yet. They had no context. So God said, just do it my way. I can't explain to you because even if I explain to you, you wouldn't understand it. So just do it my way. But they got so excited, they did it a new way. But even in a new season with new favor and new grace, be careful to do it God's way and not do it your way. So that leads us to the B. We want favor that's effective. So we've got favor and a new grace, but we want new grace that's effective. We want favor that shows up after negativity, which is good, but we want the favor that is effective. In other words, some people have told me, Pastor Andre, God blessed me with this. And I have to question, did he bless you with this if it took you away from him? Right. God gave me a new job, but if the new job takes you away from him, did he really give you the new job? Maybe that's favor that's ineffective. I don't want ineffective favor. I want blessings that'll draw me closer to God, not draw me away from God. Oh, Pastor, I got a new woman, baby. She fine. But does the fine baby take you away from God? Maybe her fine self is not for you. You want something that is effective. Nothing wrong with having a fine man and a fine woman and a good job as long as it doesn't pull you away from God. So I want favor that is effective. I don't want to put it on a new card and do it my way, because here's the thing. God knows, let's say it the way the TV show used to say, Father knows best. So some things that God is telling us to do and not do, it doesn't make sense to us, but he is the creator of the universe. He sees the big picture, so you better do it his way. Even though you're doing a new thing in a new season, still do it his way. Because his way is the best way. It is the most effective way. Let's go on to read to see, is the problem the ark or was the problem the people? We're going to go back to 2 Samuel 6 verse 9. See if you guys have it up there for me. If not, I'll read it. Yeah, there we go.
So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me?
He loved the Lord, but he didn't know what to do with him. He got a little afraid of him. I really don't know, but I still believe that the presence of God, it ain't supposed to be over there. How can we get it to come to us? All right, read the next verse.
And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite.
So as they were moving the ark and this happened, David said, I still want to get it to me, but I ain't messing with it right now. I don't trust it. I ain't playing with it. So we just going to leave it on the side. But it happened to be left by a man named Obed-Edom. We just going to leave it by his house. We ain't messing with it. We going home. Let's keep on reading. Let's look at verse 11.
Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household.
Wait a second. We find out it wasn't the ark. It wasn't God. God wasn't the problem. Because when David left it alone, wherever it was, which happened to be in front of Obed-Edom's house, everything around his house, God bless. And what I'm trying to point out to you is don't do just any and everything, but be still and let God stop
by your house and let God show you it ain't me. I'm not the problem. I'm still in the blessing business. It's the people that are handling me. Some people will say, I'm not going back to church because the church is so messed up. Baby, the problem ain't God. Sometimes it's the people in the church, but don't leave God trying to get away from the church, because once you get next to the real presence of God and it shows up in your house, everybody will know you got an Obed Edom anointing. My grass is blessed. My shingles is blessed. The water, the nasty Muncie water coming out the faucet is blessed. I can't help but be blessed because the presence of the Lord done stop by my house.
Yeah.
Let's look at what it says in verse 12.
Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God.
So David heard news. No, Brother David, it ain't, the problem is not the ark. The problem is not God, because where we last left the ark, God is blessing everything around it. And here's the thing. Sometimes it was somebody else's mishandled blessing that will cause you to be blessed.
Yes.
Sometimes the person that walked out of your life, you ought to thank God they walked out of your life, because when they walked out, the blessing stayed. Oh, there's some people that looked at you and told you, you'll never be anything without me. But they didn't know they were the problem. And as soon as they took their hat and their coat and they left, the favor of God fell. Thank you for telling me no, because that's when I found God. Thank you for closing the door in my face, because that's when I got blessed. Thank you for walking out of my life, because that's when I got healed. You know, people talk about in the new year, I'm cutting folk off. Some folk, you want them to cut you off. Please cut me off so I can get the blessing that God has for me. Because you bring so much drama. You bring so much trouble. You bring so much issues. The moment you left, I realized the problem wasn't me. God is blessing me. Let me pause, and before I go on and talk to some of y'all good looking women that are single, you are not the problem. I know that your life makes you feel like you the problem, but I'm here to let you know you're not the problem. It's the choices you make that's the problem. So let some of them ugly jokers leave and walk out your life and watch how God will bless you up and turn you around and fix up. Stop crying over a no good joker. You are somebody. Give God some time. Give God some space. And some of y'all need to date yourself. Be by yourself, be with yourself, and you'll find out you are not the problem. It's the person I've been hooked up to. And I don't want to talk to the single women. I want to talk to the single men, because it ain't always the women. Sometimes, man, you are not the problem. You good. You got a girl that gets mad at you because you took her to Red Lobster, and she too good for Red Lobster. Let her walk out your life. You'll find a girl that won't mind eating White Castles with you, and you'll build a fortune together. You get the right one, you'll get blessed the right way, because it's a new season, new grace, new favor. And in a new season, old stuff work better than it used to work. So just understand, it's all about God. So let's go back to that verse 12. I'll finish the rest of it. I didn't allow her to read it all, so I'll finish it in its entirety. It says this: now it was told to King David, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belonged to him on account of the ark of God. David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. He realized, oh, all we got to do, and if you look at it, it's not in this. This is told twice in the Bible. It's told in 1 Chronicles as well as in this 2 Samuel. But in the Chronicles, you realize and find out that they did it the old way. So sometimes old is new. Sometimes in order to be new, you got to go old. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? You ever pulled something out of your closet you ain't worn in a long time? Pull it out and put it on, and everybody's raving about it. Ooh, that's nice. That must be new. This is old as Cuda Brown. I just flipped it and moved it in a new way. See, here's the thing. Once you have a new mentality, you can make the old work like it's new. You can make stuff work if you have the right mentality. So they went and got the ark. Now let's go to number three. This is our last point. We got 3 points. So we have the negativity.
We have the effectiveness, and now we have the worship. Let me give you a definition of worship. It is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. All right. Let me put up the C that goes with this. We're talking about favor that provokes worship. All right. Let's look at what we talked about. If a blessing pulls you away from God, it's not God. But we're talking about blessings that provoke worship. So let's look at 2 Samuel 6:13 through 16. We continue the story.
And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling.
So David goes to Obed-Edom's house. They pick up the ark. And as they were heading back, the scripture says when they took six steps, he stopped and started praising the Lord, start giving offerings to the Lord. This is how you know you are infected with worship from the favor that you've seen. You don't mind offering things to God. See, if you get a blessing and you can't give none of it, you can't offer none of it back to the house of God, whether in your time, your talent, or your treasure, it may not be a blessing of the Lord. But when you have the idea and the thankfulness and the gratitude, I should have lost my mind. I should have been taken out. I'm not going to take any more steps. I'm going to stop and praise God. In other words, you don't have the mindset, well, let me wait till I get to deliverance temple. No, I ain't got to wait till I get to deliverance temple. Right here on this car lot, I'm going to praise God. Right here in front of this realtor, I'm going to praise God. Right here in this school, I'm going to praise God. Right here in this hospital, I'm going to praise the Lord. I don't have to have an organ. I don't have to have Kirk Franklin and Yolanda playing. But this heart that I have, I'm ready to give God praise. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. David had not made it back home. The first time they tried to go, somebody died. But David had a total different mentality. He had a new mentality, and he was ready to praise the Lord after the first six steps. Let's read 14.
And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod.
David was not playing. The presence of God is still in the blessing business. I'm going to offer to the Lord, and I'm about to dance before the Lord. Now, I don't mind you cute Christians who have cute, quiet church, but every now and then, you got to get a dance in your feet. You see, here's the thing. If they can do the electric slide and they can bump and grind, and since I'm old, I don't know the new dances, but if they can do the bankhead bounce, baby, I can come in the house of God and I can stomp my feet and I can lift my hands and I can shout. See, even back in the day when I was in the club scene, I was one of them cool fellas. I just like to stay up on the wall. You know, I was too cool to dance. But baby, if she was cute enough, I'd come up off the wall and I'd go and dance with her. Well, let me tell you something. God's been so good to me. I'm not standing on the wall in 2025. I'm coming to the middle of the dance floor. I'm taking over like the 99 and the 2000. I'm about to praise the Lord because God has been there for me. I should have lost my mind, but he's been there for me. I should have been evicted, but he's been there for me. Should have been dead and gone, but he's been there for me. So like David, I feel like praising the Lord. And I don't want to have to remind y'all in 2025 to come in here and praise the Lord. I don't care if we got real singers or we singing stuff on the screen. You ought to have a mindset to praise the Lord. The Bible says everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord. I'm praising him in the morning. I'm praising him in the noonday. I'm praising him in the evening. I'm praising him on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I'll come and I'll praise him on Sunday. I'm going to praise him on January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, all the way around. This is the time to praise the Lord. And I want a new praise for a new season. So David was praising. Let's go on.
So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet.
They were having some loud church. Read.
Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart.
Everybody is not going to like your praise. Come on, verse 20. We're going to jump on to verse 20.
When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would."
Let me give you a little context. Michal and David were married. And she just got a little spirit of jealousy. He had a linen ephod on. He wasn't half naked. But you know how when a woman gets in her feelings, she be making up some stuff. She'd make it sound worse than what it was. Here you are dancing half naked in front of the girl. He was praising the Lord. He wasn't thinking about nothing wrong. He didn't have no bad mindset. But here she are. See, here's the thing. Sometimes the folk closest to you won't understand your praise. But this is the new season. I ain't got time to try to tell you why I'm praising. If you're too dull to know why I'm praising God, maybe I'm with the wrong person. You ought to know why I got a praise on my lips and a pep in my step. All the hell I've been through, you ought to know. And if anybody knew David's life and everything that gone on in David's life, the reason that she would question him about his praise makes no sense. But you got folk in your life, people who call themselves friends. Sometimes folk on your same road that look at you funny because you're praising. I ain't got time to worry about you looking at me funny. I'm going to praise the Lord until I can't praise him no more. Because at the end of the day, you didn't wake me up this morning. You didn't start me on my way. You didn't put a roof over my head. You didn't put clothes on my back. You didn't put food on my table. So what do I think about pleasing you? I'm going to please God and not please you. So he goes on, verse 21, read.
David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord."
David got a little petty. Basically, he was saying, your daddy was trying to kill me, but God preserved my life. And I'm praising in front of my God, whether you like it or not. In 2025, you got to have a whether you like it or not mentality about your worship. I'm going to worship the Lord whether you like it or not. Can you turn this gospel off? No, I'm not turning it off. When I'm in your place, you don't turn your stuff off. So when you're in my place, I ain't turning my stuff off. I'm going to praise the Lord. And if you're going to come over here, either you're going to get with it or you can go ahead and go on somewhere else. We're not here to please somebody else in this new season. Verse 22.
"I will become even more undignified than this."
He said that. He said, you think this bad? This ain't the worst it's going to get. I'm going to get even more radical. Donald, you too loud. Donald say, I'm going to get louder. But Joyce, you cry too much in praise. I'm going to cry some more. Yes. You don't know where I've been through. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the hell that tried to take me out. You don't know the grief that tried to take me out. I don't care what you think. Whatever you think is bad, I'm going to do it even more in this new season. All right, let's read that in its entirety.
"I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor."
Now he's getting real petty. He's like, these girls you're talking about, they're going to appreciate me if you don't. So go on, next verse. I ain't going to stay there. Next verse, verse 23.
"And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death."
That's the last of our verses. Let me put this up as a side note. Go ahead and flash it up. Here it is. Worship undignified and have God's favor, or be dignified and be barren and fruitless. Here's your two choices in this new season. Worship undignified and don't care about what folk think about you, and be filled with God's favor, his bestowal of blessings, or get all dignified, cute, sedity, and be barren and fruitless. Listen, I don't want to be barren and fruitless. I don't want to not be able to produce. The Bible says you'll know a tree by its fruit. Yes. No, I want to produce. So guess what? I'm willing to be undignified in my praise for the Lord. So let's put them all together. We're talking about new grace, new favor. So the negativity, the effective, and the worship, it all spells new. Yes. So for this first Sunday of the new year, we're talking about new grace, new favor for this new season, a favor that will cut through the negativity, a favor that will be effective, and a favor that will cause us to worship. Let's go right there, right into our confession. Here's our confession. I'll read it first, like I normally do, and then we'll do it together. In 2025, I'm walking in new grace and favor. Favor that cuts through negativity and is so effective and blessed, it causes me to worship without boundaries. All right, repeat it after me. In 2025, I'm walking in new grace. And new favor.
And new
favor.
Favor
that cuts through negativity.
That cuts through negativity.
And is so effective.
And is so effective.
And is so blessed.
And is so blessed.
It causes me to worship.
It causes me to worship
without boundaries.
Without boundaries.
Come on, let's stand to our feet and let's praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on, give God some worship. Amen. Now we're gonna go right into our communion from here. Communion Sunday. This is a form of worship. Let me just explain this. When we talk about radical worship, there's many ways to worship. Being loud in church is a way, but communion is worship. Sometimes sitting still is worship. Whatever way you feel like you need to worship for the favor of God that's on your life, do it. But it's going to take all kinds of worship. So having said that, we're going to grab the bread. Let's hold it in our hands. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 24. Says this, 24 through 25, it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup in the new covenant, in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Now let's eat the bread, and then let's drink the cup. As an act of worship. The bread is part of his body. The wine is part of his blood. And what that means is we are in the family of God. And so we can declare the favor of God. Somebody say that with me. Say, I am part of the family of God. So I can declare the favor of God. All right, here's the last verse. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. His death is our resurrection. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for a new favor, a new grace in this new season. God, we know it's going to take over the negativity. We know it's going to be effective instead of ineffective, and it's going to cause us to worship. And because of that, the favor will be seen in our life in new manifested ways, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let the people say, thank God.
Thank God.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You have a great rest of your week.